All right, family. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you all here this morning. You are very, very, very welcome. Amen. Please come on up front. There's plenty of seats here. Feel free to come on in. You guys are welcome. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 25. We are doing a series on the book of Genesis this month, actually since we started here. And it's been incredible just to kind of see the new beginnings that Genesis helps us understand our relationship with God. Amen?
Amen.
If you're a guest here this morning, you've come out to a sold out group of disciples just wanting to please the Lord. Amen. And it's exciting. I was thinking about this just to think that just in July, the mission team got here with 11 on the team. I even found the picture. Can you find that picture for us? The picture, when we arrived here July 16th, and that was us right there at the airport, right? And then July 16th is when we landed. Look at little Isaiah, Naomi, and Lisa Marie right there. That's cute. Oh, Lukey, come on. I didn't even realize you was too this Wednesday. That was awesome. And then to see that by September 8th at our inaugural service, look what God did. 162 in attendance, four additions for the Lord. And now today, Bobby's come to be baptized as well from the University of Fitzwater Strength. God just continues to do amazing things. Amen. You know, it's exciting because 80% of the South African population calls themselves Christians. But sadly, the more I've been sharing about, you know, us coming from the U.S., and to be able to come here and just start a church. We're not South African, but yeah, we're here just to serve. So grateful for the remnant group here by the Grunwalds. Grunwalds. I was practicing. Keith was helping. Come on, Keith. This is Keith and his girlfriend Maria here. So good to have him here today, man. He was helping me with my Afrikaans, amen. But it's interesting to know that even though 80% of South Africans consider themselves Christians, a lot of people were shocked that we would give up everything in the U.S., to come to South Africa. And sadly, they lack understanding about the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because didn't Jesus leave heaven to proclaim the truth?
Truth. Yes.
And really challenge all that empty and false religious doctrines of the Pharisees? And if he can do that, then we can do that. Are you with me right here, family? And sadly, a lot of people are, they call themselves Christians, but sadly, when you look at the Bible, we got one standard, but yet we have over 500 different denominations. People teaching different things. And so we've got to get united on the word of God. And that's why we're here to proclaim the truth. Amen, family?
Amen.
And so today we're going to talk about choices.
Amen. Come on in.
We're going to talk about choices. Take a look over in Genesis 25. You know, people make a lot of choices. Some good and some bad. But it all starts from our desires. Are you with me here?
Amen.
Desires dictate our priorities. Priorities shape our choices. And of course, choices determine our actions. Are you with me here? Should I repeat that? Okay. Desires dictate our priorities. Whatever you prioritize, whatever you want to put first is based on what is your desire. Are you with me? If you're really hungry, what are you going to do? You're going to want to eat. So that's a priority for you, right? If you need to run to the restroom, then guess what? It becomes a real priority for you. Are you with me right there? Desires dictate priorities. Priorities shape our choices, and choices, of course, determine our actions. And today we're going to discover that our choices can either forfeit our future or fulfill the plan that God has for our lives.
Cool.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Our choices can either forfeit our future or fulfill the plan that God has for our lives. And prayerfully, this time will help us to examine our own decisions and really weigh the consequences and decide to obey the will of God. And so the title of the message today is very simple. Don't forfeit your future. That is the title of the message today. Don't forfeit your future. Now, last week in Genesis 24, we saw the process of discerning the will of God. As we examine the process of Eliezer, Abraham's servant, remember his chief servant, finding a righteous wife for Isaac, right? That's pretty cool. Well, now we're going to pick up the story in Genesis 25. Now, let's make sure everyone has a Bible, amen?
Amen.
We're a Bible church, so I want you to read along with me. One of the reasons why people get led astray is because they're not reading the Bible for themselves.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's true.
We're going to read Genesis 25, and we're going to start in verse 19. At this point, Abraham has passed on, and now we read about the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Remember, the son that he was waiting for.
Yes.
The son that would be the fulfillment of the promise for him to become the father of many nations. Genesis 25, starting in verse 19. The Bible reads, This is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean, from Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob, which literally means he grasped the heel, or a deceiver, actually. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. You know, I was sharing about this in the kids' kingdom, and it was interesting because we had Chris and Lerato, and Lerato just kind of squeezed Chris's hand right there. I was like, "Hey, bro!" I'm like, "Amen." Chris is about 60. So, long story short, we see here Isaac and Rebekah got together when Isaac was 40 years old. And literally 20 years later is when finally Rebekah is able to give birth. Wow. Pretty intense right there. Yeah. Talk about patience and waiting on the Lord, right? Well, let's examine this real quick. So Isaac and Rebekah, they've given birth to these fraternal twin brothers. Esau means ruddy, red, and Jacob, which means actually in the Hebrew, supplanter, which means to take the place of or displace or set aside by unfair methods or by treacherous means. That's kind of scary, right? So the whole goal there is Esau was trying to supplant, Jacob was trying to supplant Esau coming out first. Jacob wanted to come out first, so he was grabbing his heel like, "Come back." They were literally wrestling in the womb. Can you imagine? Right? And because Esau was born first, he had the birthright. So in those days, a father usually passed on his entire estate to his eldest son. Right? And rather than dividing it up equally amongst his children, which is more customary today. And in Esau's case, Esau's birthright consisted more of money and property and possessions. It actually consisted of the promise, that covenant through Abraham, that God was going to literally use him in a special way to fulfill his plan for humanity. Of course, that is where, of course, the Bible and Jesus will come through that line. Pretty incredible, right? Well, let's keep reading in verse 27. It says here, "The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob." Okay, let's stop here. So now you see how different these two guys are, right? You got Esau, now he's the man's man, right? He is the hairy expert hunter, his father's favorite. He's the burly boy. Okay? Then you got Jacob. Jacob is the smooth-skinned, you know, peaceful man, quiet man living in the tents, right? That, now, of course, you got to understand that living in the tents means where the women and children spent their time. So he excelled in cooking. Okay? So he was the mother's favorite. He was the mama's boy. So you got the burly boy, and you got the mama's boy. All right? Now let's see what happens. Verse 29. "Once when Jacob was cooking some stew." See, Jacob was cooking. That's what he did. It says, "Esau came in from the open country. He was famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.'" That is why he's also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is that birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. That's all it was, bread and lentil stew. I mean, come on, it was a steak or something. I mean, but here, lentil stew, right? I mean, he must have been real hungry. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Okay, let's stop here. This is really interesting, right? What do we see? For a bowl of soup. Like, think about it. What's your favorite meal?
Rice.
Rice? Steak? What? What's your favorite meal?
Lasagna?
Okay. I'm Jamaican, so, man, oxtail, gosh, red beans and rice. I mean, good night. You have so much good stuff. I can't sell. Oh, I'm making myself hungry just thinking about it, right? But would you sell your soul for that? Would you sell your birthright, your inheritance for that? Right? Now, we laugh and we say, ha ha, whatever. But we're going to examine how we fit into this as very, very well. Now, so for this bowl of soup, Esau gives up his birthright, gives up his inheritance. And this obviously was not pleasing to God because the scriptures say in verse 34, so Esau despised his birthright. Right? Now, hold your spot here. Turn over to Hebrews. I want you to see something. We're a whole Bible church. Amen?
Amen.
We study the whole Bible. We don't add on to it. We just study the whole thing. Hebrews 12. Let's see what the Bible says here. In verse 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Let's see what the Bible says. Are you there?
Yes.
Almost there?
Yes.
Yeah? All right, here we go. Hebrews 12, verse 16 and 17. It says, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. After it, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears. Wow. What are you willing to sell your salvation for? What sin are you so hungry for that you would give up going to heaven because you just feel like you need it right now? That's really the question, family. That really is the question. Because here, God calls the decision an immoral and a godless choice, right? And this is interesting because Esau obviously didn't make a good deal. But let's just be kind of frank and honest here. When you look at Genesis, it seems like the one who should be condemned is Jacob, right? For really exploiting and manipulating his brother, right? Now, what Jacob did was wrong. And God does teach him a lesson about this later on. And you're going to learn about that next week because Jackson will be preaching the word while I'm in Lagos. Amen. But what Esau did was far worse. And why is that? Well, it leads to my first point. First point is simply. No worries. No, it's all right. You're going to get there. Point number one is. You are what you value. You are what you value. Remember, our desires dictate our choices. Right? And so you have to ask yourself, what you do, your choices you make determine who you are. Everybody has values.
Yeah.
Everybody has values. Even criminals have values. Yeah. Right?
True.
When they say, don't snitch. Yeah. You know, don't snitch. Right? What's that quote? Snitches have stitches and end up in ditches.
Wow.
Snitches get stitches and end up in ditches, right? So don't snitch, right? Even criminals have values, all right? If you give respect, you get respect, right? So values determine people's behavior. And so why was Esau's choice so reprehensible before God? Well, let's go back to Genesis here. Let's examine the circumstances behind Esau's choice and his thought process to kind of get some insight into his character. Are you with me here? I want to help you guys and all of us to get insight into how do we make the choices we make? And looking at Esau, prayerfully, we'll learn the lessons we need to learn so that we don't make choices that make us forfeit our future.
Yeah, come on.
Amen?
Come on,
well, look at what it says here in Genesis 25. So Jacob, in verse 29, you see Jacob was cooking some stew. Esau came in and he was famished, right? Now, what's interesting, what does that mean he was famished? He was very what? He was very hungry. And you know, when you get hungry for something, sometimes it stresses you out. Right? Esau got kind of stressed right here. He wasn't relaxed. He wasn't rested. He was making a decision under a lot of pressure. And that happens a lot to us in real life. We can get stressed by a lot of things in life. We get stressed by a relationship. We can get stressed by our jobs. Get stressed by family. Right? Whatever. And We get hungry for pleasure when we get stressed. I mean, I remember when I was in university and varsity, you know, no wonder why people, you know, you see like these kids and they go to university and you're like, oh boy, you know what's going to happen there. I mean, literally, in university, I saw things, I'm like, whoa. The immorality was unbelievable. Why? Because people were stressed. They were stressed. So what do they want to do? I want to burn off some steam. Are you with me here? They'll look at porn. They'll masturbate, whatever. I did it. We all, people did it. That's what people do when they're stressed. But that's not what you have to do. And after I became a disciple, I did not turn back. Are you with me here? Literally, for the last 19 years, I've not given into pornography or masturbation. And I think we got to have a deep conviction about it. Amen. I share that not to boast. I share that because we need to have a conviction. You can. You can. You can overcome this sin in your life. I was a slave to it. And if I can overcome, you can overcome too. And so, but this is what happens. People, they decide to do things when they get stressed. Oh, let's go to the club. Let's go to the bar. Let's drink. Let's smoke. Let's go to the wild party. Let's masturbate. Whatever it is. That's what people do when they get stressed. And so he gets stressed and he starts making stupid decisions. Look what happens next. In verse 30, he says to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Okay, so he's stressed. Now, all of a sudden, his hunger that he has in him, right? And like I said, when you get stressed, you start hungering for things. People can hunger for attention. You know? It's like, nobody loves me. I want people to love me. We start hungering for attention. Hungering for pleasure. Hungering for money. Whatever it is. You know what you hunger for.
Yeah.
And guess what? Satan knows what you hunger for too.
Yeah, true.
Are you with me here? And you think, I'm famished. I really need this. Do you really need this? Or are you just listening to your flesh? And so he's stressed. Then he gets impulsive. Quick, quick, quick. I got to have this. All of a sudden, it becomes an emergency. Why is it all of a sudden that this is, why is he becoming so impulsive? Did he even take 5 minutes to really think this over and weigh out the implications that if he gave up his birthright, what would happen? No, he was just rash.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people do this too in the world. We get rash. We get impulsive. Oh, yeah, I want to have sex. Forget about the protection. Let's just go. Boy, now what happens? STD, pregnancy. You get what I'm saying here?
Yes.
But I need it. I'm rash. I need it. No, stop being impulsive. Stop being rash. Or you get rash when you get angry. You have offended me and the whole Shaolin clan. Right? No, it's from a movie. The long story short is we get stressed out. Then we get impulsive, like, and now you feel like, I've got to get angry. I got to do something. We get emotional. And you look what else happens with Esau. He's stressed. He's impulsive. Then he gets emotional. And he's actually pretty dishonest. Look what he says in verse 32. He says, look, I'm about to die.
Wow.
Is he really about to die?
No,
no he's not. Wow. I'm about to die. What good is my birthright to me?
Wow.
We get so stressed out. We get so impulsive that literally, we lie to ourselves about what we really need. Are you with me here? Esau was not going to die if he didn't have some lentil soup. Okay? He didn't act like a man on the verge of death because he ate, he drank, and then he got up and left. He wasn't dying, right? But he lied to himself to justify the decision.
Wow.
How do we lie to ourselves?
Yeah, come on.
How do we lie to ourselves? You know, it's interesting. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, the Bible says something really interesting. It says, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
Wow.
You know, sometimes we're hasty when it comes to the decisions we make. And here, you have to ask yourself, how do we make hasty and rash decisions that can forfeit the future that God has in store for us? You know, students, you can be thinking, oh, I'm stressed. Am I going to pass this exam? I'll cheat. Yes, that's what I do. I'll cheat. Yeah, that's what I do. Forfeit your future. You know what I'm talking about? We make rash decisions to become immoral, to become angry, to lie, to be embittered. And instead of doing the harder right, we choose the easier wrong. You know, I was very inspired by the restoration of Tendai and Blantina.
Yes.
And I'm very, very proud of them.
Amen.
because they chose their marriage over giving in to bitterness and anger. They chose pleasing God instead of pleasing themselves. I'm very proud of you both. And that takes effort, because when there's hurt, when there's pain, it can be easy to give in to ourselves. I want to feed my anger. I want to feed my bitterness. Rather than, do I really want to forfeit my future? Do I want to give up my marriage for this? Guys, this is huge. When we're thinking about our decisions, we've got to ask ourselves, how do we forfeit our future by doing it? Because as I said, you see the values that were revealed by Esau's choice. You see his values, right? Now let's contrast them to values that are esteemed in the Bible. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Remember, Esau's desires dictated his priorities that led to his choices, right? And when analyzed in this light, the Bible's negative view on his decision becomes a lot clearer. Because you see, in Matthew 4, we see the temptation of Jesus. Jesus was tempted too, right? Esau's decision was based on the basis of his physical need, his hunger, rather than really taking into account what are the spiritual considerations here, right? To play a role in God's plan. And this is radically different than Jesus. Look at Jesus here in Matthew 4.
Amen.
Matthew 4, verse 1. I just want to show you Jesus, guys.
Come on.
Amen?
Come on.
Verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Right? The understatement of the Bible. Right? The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, he wasn't falling into the independence that Satan said, no, God doesn't care about you. You've got to take care of yourself. You turn these bread. God doesn't want, don't worry about it. God's not going to take care of you. You be independent. You take care of yourself. You do what you need to do.
Yeah.
That's what Satan's plan was here. And what does Jesus say? I don't live on that, but I live on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Yeah.
He didn't allow his hunger, and it was real hunger, right? To stop him from disobeying God's word. What hunger for you will stop you from disobeying God's word? I appreciate our sister Ariel, right? In the kingdom for how many years before you got married, sis? 8 years in the kingdom. And she trusted God.
Amen.
Until the Lord brought her knight in shining Nigerian armor to her. Are you with me right there? And now she's about to get married. I'm so proud of you, my sister. It's an honor to walk you down the aisle. Amen. But that's huge. What are you hungry for? That Satan's like, come on, man, you got to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of you, who's going to take care of you? Right? Then it goes on. Verse 5, the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point in the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. See, very often we test God. We say, hey, man, God loves us. Isn't he a God of grace and mercy? I can do whatever I want because he's going to forgive me, right? We take God's grace for granted. And so here it's interesting because he takes him to this highest point and he's like, throw yourself down. Of course, you know, the quote, Satan is quoting the Bible, guys. That's what's crazy. Satan knows the Bible better than you do. And that's why if you do not know the Bible, you can be led astray by false teachers.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
You better read your Bible. You better study it out. Because what's interesting here is that Satan doesn't give him the whole scripture. He quotes part of the scripture. He says, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift up your hands, lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. That's in Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. But he doesn't include verse 13, where it says his heel will also strike on the serpent, which is him. So Satan will pick and choose what you want to follow. And in the same way, we can lie to ourselves and pick and choose part of the Bible we want to follow.
Yeah.
Right? I came to church, God. You see, I did good. I did good. I know I kind of sleep around and stuff and look at porn, but I did good. I came to church. That's my definition of Christianity. That's my buffet, right? I wonder if I told my wife, hey, sweetie, you know what? I'm going to be faithful for you for 6 days of the week, but Saturday, I'm going to get my groove on. I'm going to sleep with a couple women. I'll be back on Sunday. I'm ready for you. I gave you 6 days, right? We're good. Some people only give God one day. And they think, man, I came on Sunday, didn't I? I gave my contract. What do you want from me? I've checked in. I've done my duty. Guys, we got to have deep conviction here. We can't give God sloppy seconds. We got to give God our best. Amen. Are you with me here?
Yeah, come on in.
Let's get back here. I think this is huge because in Luke 16, again, our values are shown by what we focus on. If we're self-centered and we're worldly, then that shows what our values are. Take a look over in Luke 16. I want to show you this too. Yeah? We learned a very powerful lesson here, and then we're going to move on in just a second. No hunger. No hunger that you have is so severe that it justifies trading away the will of God in order to satisfy it. There is no hunger that you can possibly have. You know, I look at Ariel and I say, listen, Ariel and Osas are going to have their first kiss at their wedding day.
Amen.
Now, to the world, this is, are you serious? How do you even know if she's going to be okay for you? I guess Osas had to trust in God and be faithful. The same way we trust when we go to the store that the toothbrush there, I don't have to check it out before I buy it. Should I try this? No, it doesn't clean my molars the way it... Okay, put it back. Next person comes up. Okay, try it. No, sorry. Next person. No. But that's what you're doing with your body. You're giving the best of yourself with no commitment.
Talk about it, yes.
That's why I respect Ariel and Osas. That's a marriage in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people, amen. There's a lot of people that are shocked by that. But it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Either we obey the Bible or we don't. And let me tell you right now, I'm not trying to say that this stuff's easy. Listen, I'm a man like everybody else, but I have the Spirit of God in me.
Amen.
And I know that if we are sensitive to sin,
Come on, Andrew.
We won't get that far.
That's right.
You get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Like, a person doesn't just go out and murder somebody. They get angry. Then the anger boils. Then they feel the bitterness. And then all of a sudden, it leads to that, right? You don't just wake up and, oh my gosh, we're having sex. How did this happen?
Yeah. Right.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
It's because there's a slow progression of impurity until it gets to immorality.
Yeah.
It doesn't just magically happen. Take a look. I'm going to stick with where I was. Luke 16.
Keep going, bro.
But I want to show you guys something that's very important. Because if your value system changes, you can conquer sin a lot better than you think.
Yeah.
Take a look in Luke 16 here. Look what the Bible says here. Because here's the thing. Let me just boil it down to you. Either your flesh is going to master you, or the Father will be your master. It's one or the other. Either you obey your flesh or you obey your Father. It's like that movie. What is that movie? The Hightower with Idris Elba. You have not seen the faith of... What is it? The Dark Tower. The one where he talks about I do not shoot with my eye. Those who shoot with my eye do not know the face of their Father. It's based on a Stephen King novel. You'd have to go check it out. But it's a pretty cool thing. We won't have time to look at it now. Luke 16, verse 13. The Bible says, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and blank. In this case, money. The Pharisees, who love money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. Now, aren't these guys supposed to be the religious guys?
Right?
He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. You are what you value. You know, I look at my wife and I thank God for her. I want to protect her purity. I think in the kingdom of God, just to help you guys understand, if you're a guest here today, we believe that we have pure relationships. That we don't, you don't see brothers and sisters kind of, oh yeah, amazing grace, and then going off sleeping with each other. That's not in the kingdom of God. Now, did I come into the kingdom that way? Nope. Before I became a Christian, I was just as immoral and as impure as anybody else. Are you with me here?
Yes.
It took me sitting down and studying the Bible. And if you're a guest here today, I want to encourage you, study the Bible together with us. Let's learn what it means to be mastered, not by our flesh, but by our Father. And by his word. Amen?
Amen.
Which one do you love more? Which one do you value more? Being spiritual or being satisfied in your flesh? Point number two.
Come on, Andrew. Come on.
Your decisions have irreparable consequences. Your decisions may have irreparable consequences. So let's get back to Genesis here. What were the results of Esau's choice? Well, he got to eat the soup. Must have been some good soup, too, right? I mean, if Esau was here, he'd probably remind us, man, I got some good lentil soup. It was all right, right? Some bread, some wine, but it ain't worth giving up his salvation for, right? But of course, he lost his birthright. And it's interesting because his choice was irreversible in this respect. I think that Esau thought he could reverse the decision. I think Esau thought, you know what? God still loves me. I think we can figure this out. I think I can still get my way. You ever kind of think that?
Yeah.
That you can kind of bend the rules and you can still get your way?
Yeah.
I think that's what Esau thought too. But that didn't happen because later in Genesis 27, many years later, as Isaac lay blind and on his deathbed, Jacob actually disguised himself as Esau and Esau discharged his birthright to him. Take a look what happens here in Genesis 27. Genesis 27 verse 30, look at this. It says, after Isaac finished blessing him and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, my father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father, Isaac asked him, who are you? I'm your son, he answered, your firstborn Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed, he will be blessed. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me! Me too, my father! But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He deceived me with these two times. He took my birthright. Well, that wasn't deceit. Because Esau gave it to him.
Yeah.
But now he's taken my blessing. Okay, yeah, he did deceive him for that one. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. You know, his birthright dealt with the physical inheritance of wealth, but the blessing really dealt with the spiritual prosperity from God. And it's just so convicting here. Esau was, again, he deceived himself. He took my birthright. No, he didn't. You gave it to him. We have to realize when we make poor choices, we got to decide to acknowledge our poor choices. I think sometimes people are like, we want to blame everybody else. Well, it's my grandmother's father's cousin's uncle who made me the person I am. No, it's not. Now, listen, there may be some issues here. But at the end of the day, it's you.
Yeah.
That's right.
The issue is you. Get it? The issue is you, right? It's us. We try to, oh, but it's my circumstance. And it's the, no. You are either a thermometer or a thermostat. You either allow your circumstances to change you, like a thermometer, or you're a thermostat. No matter what's around me, I'm locked in. Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Are you a spiritual thermometer or are you a spiritual thermostat?
Wow.
Do you change based on the circumstances around you? Or do you hold to the word of God?
Come on, Andrew.
Hold to the values that God has. Because if we don't, our decisions can have irreparable consequences. You know, think about it. What are some of the decisions you've made that have had irreparable consequences? An abortion? Cheating? Lying? What is it for you that has happened that, man, I can't take that back? What I said, I can't take it back. You know? And you know, it's interesting because even when we repent, our sin has consequences.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's going to be awesome to see Pablo get baptized today, but the truth is, I know for us and for others, some people that get baptized, they're going to have to live with the consequences of their sin.
Yep.
Are you with me here? God forbid you have to deal with, you know, damaged reputation, illegitimate child, or God forbid a disease. And Esau couldn't change it afterwards. I think for us, one of the biggest things I had to learn in my life is I had to take responsibility. And once I took responsibility, then I could truly change.
Yeah.
Are you with me here?
Yeah.
Take a look over with me in Colossians. I want to encourage you with some good news here. Because God tells us that our most important decisions are going to revolve around Him. Take a look in Colossians chapter 2. Because, you know, the world will try to tell you something different. The world will try to tell you you don't have to really obey the Bible. The Bible is, you know, it's a 2,000-year-old document, you know. And I just want to encourage you. Here's the thing. The Bible is relevant to your life today.
Yes, it is.
Are you with me here? You know why? Because people, the Bible deals with the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Yeah.
People, like, well, yes, you're not going to find the new specs for the Audi A8 in the Bible. You're not going to find it there. What you will find is the condition of the human heart.
Yep.
And people still deal with the same greed, lust, pride, deceit 2,000 years ago as they do today.
Yep.
And that's why the Bible's still relevant.
Yep.
Are you with me here?
Yep.
And so, take a look at what the Bible says here. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Don't get caught up in the world's philosophy. I'm proud of Pabi because the truth is that in universities today, they're constantly trying to change students' value system.
Yes.
To make it more worldly. It's scary. And that's why I'm so proud of Pabi making that decision to make Jesus Lord and
Amen.
Hold on to the word of God.
Amen.
Here in Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Amen, Bobby? And overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God, who raised Him from the dead. That's why Poppy's getting baptized today, because she understands that no matter all the decisions she's made before, her sins will be washed clean today when she gets into the waters of baptism. Are you with me? It's going to be awesome. Washed clean. New start, new creation. So proud of you. And so for us here today, as we start to close on out, what kind of convictions do you have? What kind of value system do you have?
Good question.
Is it of the word or is it of the world? The word or the world? The difference is the L, which stands for the lies of the world. Are you with me right there?
Yeah.
Either we hold to this or we don't. Are you with me, family?
Yeah.
And so my last point is, and the amazing thing here is that people have the word of God, but yet still go off track.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to my last point. Pay attention to God's direction. Okay. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2.
Come on.
Who here drives? Anybody drive? Okay. Have you ever drifted out of your lane when you're driving?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever walked into people as you're texting? Or almost? There are stories of people walking into, like, literally a gutter. Or, like, because they're like, and they fall right in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? People talking, texting, you walk right, they're not even paying attention anymore. Right? Why do these things happen? Because we fail to pay attention. Take a look with me in Hebrews chapter 2. It's not enough to have the Bible. You can use the Bible as, I don't know, to hold up your books. The issue is whether you're actually using it, right? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. That's why we're here, guys. That's why we come. That's why we hear the word of God every week. That's why we're in each other's lives. It's not enough to just have it on Sunday morning. Are you with me here? It's not enough to brush your teeth once a week. You brush your teeth every day. Amen, family? I hope you do. Hopefully twice a day. You know? But let's be honest. Sometimes when you want to go to bed at night, you're like, man, I don't want to brush my teeth. Be honest. Be honest. You know you don't want to brush your teeth. And if you're married, you'd be like, don't do it. Right? But the Bible says you should need to meditate on it day and night. The same kind of conviction you need to have about your brother, you need to have for the Lord. Yeah, amen? But we need to be careful, because if you're a disciple of Jesus, I'm going to talk to the church right now. Are you still following God's direction with all your heart, or are you starting to drift?
Come on, Andrew.
Very often, it's not necessarily intentional.
Yeah.
Right? But we got to be careful, because Satan does not take a day off. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4.
Come on, Andrew.
I want you to see this here.
Come on, Brown.
I want to show you the rewards of holding on to the word of God. It's encouraging. Proverbs chapter 4, there's a lot of rewards to hold on to the word of God, even if it costs us everything. Let's take a look here. Proverbs 4, verse 1. It says, listen, my sons, my daughters, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, my daughter, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I will guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction, do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble.
Wow.
No, it's interesting how the world's like, oh, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why this is. I don't know why my life is like this. And I'm looking at them like, I know why.
Yeah.
I know exactly why. Because you're not holding to this. It's not enough to know it. We got to hold to it. Are you with me, your family?
Yes.
And so for you today, what's on your heart? Are you still following God's word and holding to the truth as when you were a baby Christian? I look at Poppy right now and I'm like, man, she's so fired up. She was with us she studied the Bible Friday, spent the night with the sisters, came over the house Saturday, studied the Bible with the sisters again. She loved it. She's like, man, this is awesome. I'm trying to get baptized up in here. She was going after it. Why? I don't do that stuff later. She was focused. Is that the same zeal you have for your quiet time when you get up in the morning? It's like Ariel and Osas, right? She's getting ready. She's about to have her wedding too. See, Poppy's about to have her wedding to the Lord. She's about to have her second wedding to Osas. Are you with me right there? And so she's like, man, got her hair done, nails done, everything done. But it's interesting because I'm like, man, that same zeal that Ariel has for Osas, the effort that it takes to keep that fire burning, marrieds, I know the way I feel about my wife. It takes work. And it takes work to go after it with all of our hearts here too. Because, take a look at something. I want to show you this last a couple things before we close out. See that graph, my sister? This is religious affiliation in South Africa as of 2005. This is the confusion that's going on in churches today. You got Muslim, Hindu, non-religious, Roman Catholic, Zion Christian, traditional beliefs, Protestant. Protestant, that means tens, hundreds of different churches. This is the confusion that's going on right here today. And some people, because they're not holding to the word of God, they don't know what to do. Because they think, doesn't everyone believe in God? Doesn't everyone believe in Jesus? And they're clueless. Where do I go? What do I do? What church do I go to? Are you with me here? And if you're a guest here this morning, we don't want you to be confused anymore. You found the kingdom of God. We don't want you to be confused anymore. Poppy knows she's found it. Are you with me right here? And if you're a guest here today, I want to encourage you, study the Bible.